Amen. Well, let's turn to two passages, Acts 16:1, and then for our memory verse, Isaiah 55:6. We'll start there in Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6. You know, at any given point, we don't know how much time we have, do we? The Lord's coming could be so close. And so we want to urge people to receive Him. So I'll say the reference. We'll do it three times. I'll say the reference, and then we can say the verse and the reference together. So Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6. Amen. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Okay, then let's go to Acts 16 in verse 1. So we're looking at the matter of evangelism. And number one tonight is getting the Holy Spirit's direction where to go to preach the gospel. So number one, getting the Holy Spirit's direction where to go to preach the gospel. And this is really fitting for what we're facing right now in our country. And what we have just seen happen. But in Acts 16, let's start in verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were what? Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word where? In Asia. So it's getting the Holy Spirit's direction where to go. Right now, it wouldn't be too wise for us to go out door to door. Not only would the government be against that, but probably most doors where we went, they would be upset that we'd be coming to their door, handing them something, talking to them. And so it probably would not do much good. And so at this point, it would seem that the Holy Ghost is forbidding us to take the gospel in that manner at this time. But getting a no from the Lord does not mean forget it totally, does it? You know, if the Lord says don't preach the gospel here, that doesn't necessarily mean don't preach the gospel anywhere. We should continue to ask and seek and knock. If you'd hold your place here, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. So it's not like, oh, well, the Holy Ghost said, don't preach the gospel in Asia, so that just must mean that he hasn't called me to preach. Well, we don't want to jump to that conclusion. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be what? Given you. Seek and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be what? Open unto you, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, even though all these nursing home ministries, I mean, at first they were saying, in certain ones of them, they were saying, we're only going to let one of you in. Well, that changes real quick. And then it was, we're letting none of you in now. And so it looked like the door was closed, wasn't it? It looked like it was closed. But what did we do? Ask, seek, and knock. And what did the Lord do? I mean, how many times have we talked about, we go in there and preach the gospel, the true gospel from the Word of God, and then some other denomination comes in the next week and does what? You know, preaches falsehood. And that is, remember when we were in the sheriff's camp before they closed that down? That was our same concern. We preach the gospel, but then some other group comes and preaches something else. And so what appeared to be a shut door to the nursing homes actually is like an answer to prayer for all these years. Because now we have an opportunity to every week, get them the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it goes back to what Pastor Jeremy was saying this morning about it. It's so easy to get into a complaining mode, but we miss a lot of blessings, don't we, when we do that? We miss so many blessings. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Actually, let's back up in verse 13. Philippians 2:13. For it is who? God, which worketh in you both to what? To will and what? To do of His good pleasure. So it's God that has to work in our hearts, isn't it? It's God that has to work in our hearts to will, to have the desire to do His will. To will and to do. That reminds me of the prodigal son. He's out there, he's feeding the swine of his master, and his master won't give him any food. And so he's thinking about, you know what, I should go back home. My dad's servants have more to eat than I do. And I should go back to tell my dad, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And then we find out, well, those were only his thoughts. Now he had the decision, do I actually go through that? Have you ever faced that? You know, maybe you've offended someone, or maybe you've done this or that, and so you're thinking, in your mind, you're going through the steps. Okay, I ought to do this and this and this. But that's only what? That's only ideas rolling around. It's not actually doing it. That's a whole other step, isn't it? It's a whole other step. The prodigal son did it. And in verse 13 here, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And that, doesn't that fit so much with our witnessing? We want to get the gospel to others. And we may even meditate on it at times and think about it. But do we actually do it? And then verse 14. Do all things without what? Murmurings and what? Disputings. Because we miss out on the blessing, don't we? As Pastor Jeremy was saying this morning. We miss out on the blessing then. So, when the nursing home seemed to close, we didn't complain. We were just thinking, is there some other way we could do it? It's kind of like when the government outlawed baby boys in Moses' day. So he's born. The decree of the government is throw him in the river. But his mama wasn't about to do that without meditating, thinking, praying. And so, okay, I'll throw him in the river in a protective ark, in a protective little boat. That's what I'll do. So I'm obeying the government, and I'm also obeying God. I am not going to kill my baby boy. I'm going to protect him. And so God did a wonderful thing and brought forth a wonderful leader out of that. So so we're to ask and seek and knock. So actually the Lord has opened a wonderful door. And, you know, after I left the DVD at Green Acres on Friday, I was just leaving there rejoicing. not that we can no longer get in there, but that God has given us something to do in the downtime. And I was just thinking, Lord, you are so gracious. All these doors are closed, and even when the doors are closed, you open them a crack. Every one of these places that I've gone to give these DVDs, they never open the door big, wide enough for me to walk through. But you know what they do open the door wide enough for? A DVD of the gospel. They're all opening their doors. I'm not complaining that the doors only open a little bit. I was just rejoicing, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that even when the doors are closed, you've opened them for us to get the gospel in. And I was just rejoicing in God's goodness. Aren't you glad that God has allowed us to have something to do for Him? I mean, isn't that a blessing? That God has allowed us to have something that we can do for Him. I mean, we're not even worthy of being able to do anything for Him, are we? But He's given us an opportunity. And what a wonderful thing. Let's go then to Luke 18. Because Luke 18 reminds us that in evangelism, it's a constant matter of prayer, isn't it? Of seeking the Lord's direction, seeking His wisdom. And in that regard, we can't give up, can we? Because we know President Trump has frequently said, we are facing an unseen enemy. It's this coronavirus particle out there going around, infecting everyone. We're facing an unseen enemy. He said that many, many, many times. But we face that in the Christian realm, the Christian battle, all of our lives, haven't we? We have an unseen enemy. It's Satan and his hosts. So we, in evangelism, we can't neglect the prayer part of it. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not what? To faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not, what? For a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You know, here's something we need to remember, that even those who are enemies of the gospel, in this case, whether it's a judge or whoever it is, even if they're an enemy of the gospel, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh what? Even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I've shared this with you many times, but I found that out. I found opposition doing a certain thing for the Lord. And the way that it was overcome was to keep blessing those people. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And you know what? It just melted their hearts. Even an unjust judge can be overcome by us continually going to God. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge who? His own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he what? Find faith on the earth? What if the Lord does come this week? I mean, He could come tonight. He could come just a moment. He could come this year. As I said this morning, you know, the plagues. When God sent the plagues, He was getting His people on the move for the promised land. The rapture could be just around the corner. It may happen this week. It may happen this year. As I said, took them about a year and being at the Mount. But then because of their sin, it was 40 years before. So the rapture could happen at any moment, could happen within a year, could happen within 40 years. I don't know, but it sure is exciting to see what God is doing nonetheless. And so we can't give up. We've got to continue to pray. But verse 8 reminds us, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What if in this downtime we were just complaining? I mean, we're just standing around here at church and complaining, you know, the government this and the, this and that. And but it would make us really unusable to be used of the Lord, wouldn't it? You know, it's hard to serve the Lord with a bad attitude, isn't it? I mean, if we have a rotten attitude, is it easy to witness? No, it's not easy to witness. So here's a good point in our evangelism is constant prayer and not giving up. Not thinking, oh, Lord, you don't care about me or you don't care about my opportunities. No, if we have a good attitude and just keep bringing it to the Lord. Let's notice in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. How often do you lack wisdom? I can tell you how often I lack wisdom. Every day, every hour, and every moment is how often I lack wisdom. And that's how often I need to go to the Lord. It's every moment. So verse 5, James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So coupling this with Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask, seek, and knock. Coupling it with Luke 18, 1 through 8, not giving up. Now what if we just gave up and the Lord came back next Sunday? And we had failed to be a service to him this week because we were just grumbling about everything. What a waste that would be, wouldn't it? So we must keep asking, seeking, and knocking. So let's go back to Acts 16 and see what they did when the Spirit said no. We read Acts 16:6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So what did they do? Did they follow the verses that we just saw? Yes. Verse 7. After they were coming to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, what? Suffered them not. So they didn't give up, did they? Paul didn't say, you don't want me to preach the gospel in Asia? Well, must be the Lord doesn't want me to preach, so I'm just going to do my own thing then. No, he continued to seek, ask, seek, and knock. But they come to Mysia, Bithynia, and the Spirit still suffered them not. But that didn't stop them. So verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of where? Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, isn't that interesting? He's praying to the Lord. And now, and of course, this person is not praying to him as God, but, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and what? Help us. So there's the answer. Yeah, it might have been the third time, but it wasn't a strikeout, it was a home run. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And then verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, what? Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had what? Called us for to what? Preach the gospel unto them. What is the gospel? That's one thing Paul never gave up on. He didn't say, well, let's see, the Holy Ghost is forbidding me to preach the gospel in Asia. So what else could I do to try to reach them? If I can't preach the gospel, what else could I do to reach them? Well, that's the wrong reasoning. The only thing that's going to save a person is hearing the gospel. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. There is no other way to be saved. And what is the gospel? The gospel never changes. And if you, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel. And what does gospel mean? Good news. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. So it's the gospel. Hearing the gospel and responding to it is how a person is saved. if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Don't let verse 2 pull you into the camp like, oh, salvation can be lost. No, it's simply stating, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And that is this. Those who believe they can lose their salvation have fallen from grace, the Scripture says. They have believed in vain. In other words, it was not a true faith. That's the issue. And that's what verse 2 is teaching. And then verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, what? Died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was what? Buried, and that He what? Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There has always only been one true gospel. Now the Bible warns us that people will come along with something they call the gospel. People will come along saying there's other ways to be saved, but there's never been another way to be saved. Look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1:6. Galatians 1:6. The Bible warns us about here. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel. Verse 7, which is what? Not another. In other words, it's not another true gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be what? Accursed. So, there's only been one gospel. Notice with me in Revelation 14. Revelation 14:6. The Bible calls the gospel the everlasting gospel. It's always been the same. Always been the same. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the what? Everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So it's always been the same. And it's not a bloodless gospel. There are not different plans throughout time how to be saved without the blood. But if you notice in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, it's never been by the blood of animals. Hebrews 10 verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of what? Bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins. So it's the gospel is not animal blood taking away our sin. It's never been that. That's clear right here. And Cain shows us that it's not just doing something else for God. Look in Genesis 4. Cain brought a bloodless offering, and it was not accepted. So if Cain brought a bloodless offering, and it was not accepted of God, and yet animal blood does not save us, there's only one option left, and that's Jesus' blood. That's the true gospel. Genesis 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So what was Abel's offering picturing then? If Abel was not depending upon the blood of those animals, what was his faith in? The blood to come. In his mind, he was picturing that. In his mind, he was offering those animal sacrifices just like we write a check. When we write a check, we know that check is not the payment. We know the payment is at the bank. The cash is at the bank. And if we write a check when we know the cash is not at the bank, well, then we get fined for that by the bank. Maybe worse. That depends on what you write the check for. I guess how much. So Abel knew that that was just a check he was writing, but he brought the blood, looking ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain did not bring a blood sacrifice, and his offering was not accepted. That wasn't a check. You know, go to the bank. If you have a house payment, or just go to Myers, and instead of offering them cash, instead of using a credit card, instead of writing a check, offer them the fruit of your ground. Take them 3 potatoes and lay it on there. When the cashier says, well, that'll be so much money, give her 3 potatoes. Is Meyer going to accept that? No. Now, in Haiti, they bring their offering at harvest time is food. And that would be like in the Old Testament. I mean, their tithes were animals. That's what fed the priests, was their animals. But in our society, you know, just try going and getting gas and offering Meyer gas station 12 ears of corn. Will they take it? No. It's not an acceptable payment. So when Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to God, it was not accepted. Abel's was, because it was a blood offering, but Hebrews 10:4 tells us animal blood never takes away sin. So that Abel was offering that looking ahead to the true payment that would come. He knew what the true payment was, and it was to come. So there's always been only one gospel. So number one, getting the Holy Spirit's direction where to go preach the gospel. And the gospel is always the same. Let's go back to Acts 16 and verse 11. So they've got the right place now. Macedonia. Okay, Macedonia. What city in Macedonia? And what place in the city? So verse 11. The treasure hunt, seeking for the right place, is still on. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So they make their way to Philippi, a chief city in Macedonia. But now where do we go, Lord? Where do we go? Where do we go in Greenville? We thought, where do we go to find people? Well, Heritage Park is about the busiest corner that there's a public place. Public space. So we go there. But verse 13. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a river side where what? Prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So what did they do? They tried to find a place in the city where it looked like people would be more conducive to listening to the gospel. And it was this place by the river where prayer was offered, and on this occasion, there were women there. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So it's in our witnessing, it's discerning where to go, asking, where do you want me to go? And then it's fine-tuning it, isn't it? I mean, in so many ways, it's like the wise men. They came from the east seeking the Lord Jesus, the King. But they didn't know where. They went to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem. So they needed direction to get to Bethlehem. But Bethlehem, that was the days of the taxing, and it was crowded. And so they needed, where? In what house? And that's when the star moved and stood right over the place where Jesus was. So it's getting the right country, the right city, the right place in that city. And so that's why I say, when do I need wisdom? When do you need wisdom? Every day, every hour, every moment. We need God's direction. And that takes me back to Proverbs chapter 3. You know, each time we start a task, we just need to acknowledge the Lord and ask for His help. Lord, I need you. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto what? Thine own understanding. Is that not like Solomon when he said, the Lord came to him and Solomon said, I am but a child. I know not how to go out or come in. I mean, he's the king. And he's saying, I don't know how to go out and come in. What was he acknowledging? Lord, I need you every moment. Every time I go out that door, I need your direction, where to go, what to do. And then I need your direction to know when to come back in and which path to take. Our paths are important. Getting out the gospel. Maybe the Lord wants us to go this way to town today. Maybe there's another way I can go. Maybe there's someone in need the other way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding in what? All thy ways. Acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge Him? Yes. Lord, I acknowledge you. I need you. I need your help. We need His help in witnessing. Well, what about then Asia? Did God care about Asia? Well, let's look at Acts 19. Yes, God cared about Asia, but He just had a different way He was going to reach it. Now, Paul was only one man, and usually there was someone traveling with him, and many times it was more than one. It might be Silas, or it might be Silas and Timothy, or it might be Luke. It might be several people traveling with him. But yes, God cared about Asia. And Acts 19, verse 8. Acts 19:8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were what? Hardened and what? Believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in what? The school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of what? 2 years, so that what? All they which dwelt where? In Asia, what? Heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Paul was setting out to go into an area that God knew there was a better way to reach that area than him alone or whoever might be with him trying to go throughout all of Asia. God knew that this opportunity was coming where in verse 9, certain people would harden their heart to the gospel, but that didn't mean that the gospel doesn't work. And we got to get that down in our mind. Sometimes people have said to me over the years, I don't believe the Bible. And at first I thought, well, now what do I say? They don't believe the Bible, so I can't use any scripture verse. Boy, was I naive. Yeah, the devil wants us to go that route. No, they need to hear the word of God. But these people hardened their hearts. So Paul centered on disputing daily in this school of one Tyrannus. And for 2 years, he was preaching and teaching to those people in the school, and they were taking that throughout Asia. And it says there in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that what? All they which dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So, you know, what seems like a shut door, it's so applicable for what we've just faced with the nursing home ministries. It seems like this coronavirus, at first, it seems like this coronavirus was just defeating God's work. It didn't defeat His work at all, did it? The door was still open, a crack. And you know what? In our absence, at least at Hathaway Hills last week, in our absence, more people are gathered together. Because those people are lonely. Those people don't have a lot of activities. Now they can do. So you know what? They're more prone maybe to think, oh, there's something we can actually gather together and do. You know, in those places right now, they are forbidden from communal dining. They can't all get together and eat. They can't do it now because of this coronavirus. But they are allowing them to gather together for what? Church. It's kind of like out on the outside, isn't it? So we can rejoice in these times. And so in the matter of evangelism, we've learned from tonight that we really need a lot of prayer, don't we? And we need to not give up. When one door closes or appears to close, that doesn't mean it's really closed tight. God may open that thing just a crack. And in just a crack being open, who's going to get the glory for all that's done? God is, not us. It's Him going to get the glory. And isn't that what we want? Yes. If in our absence, more people can gather together and hear the word, praise who? Praise the Lord. We don't get the credit for it. The Lord does. And that's really what we want all along anyway, isn't it? That's the important part of witnessing too. It's never for what? Our glory. It's always for Him. And that's why so many times He will do it ways that man would never think of. Just like right now. So let's rejoice in that we have these opportunities and just praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we do praise You. And Father, we do want to spend time in prayer for the many who are hurting because of this coronavirus. And so in a few moments, Lord, we do want to spend time praying for them, praying for the doctors, praying for those who are trying to help the sick. We think of Brother John and Brother Luke and a multitude of doctors and nurses and all kinds of medical people, and a multitude of people at the stores that sell food and other things deemed essential, face scores, hundreds of people every day walking within breathing distance of them. And yet it's their job to help these people. And Lord, we just thank You for these cracks that are opening. So that the gospel can get out. We read in Your word that the gospel is not bound, and it's not bound right now. We praise You for that, and we thank You that You'll get all the glory for what You do on the inside of all of these places.